Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on Lulz, Brian and I talk about the recent Tom Brady roast. Brian and some of his friends actually have an exciting announcement. We're going to get into that a little bit. Apparently, there's tilt in the PGA streets after a WD there. And also maybe a little best ball musings here on Lulz today with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. Welcome to Lulz. My name's Peter Overzet, and I am joined by professional DFS player Brian Hooper. I probably don't do, I take for granted so many times when I do shows where I just assume everyone knows us. They know what we're doing. Every once in a while, we have to say what we do. I am a best ball in DFS content creator who live streams his drafts. And Brian is a professional DFS player. Do you think that that will help catch people up to speed on what we do around here?
Yeah. For the 1% who's lost and here for some reason.
Yes. We always got to cast a wide net here. We got some legends in the chat. What is shaking? AJ, Big Dan just coming out firing. No PGA ownership, Brian. What's going on? Are you slacking?
Look three ahead there. I answered him. I did.
Oh, okay.
I did do ownership. He just didn't see it.
You got owned.
It was a little late because there was baseball during the day. What else? I had something to do.
You having something else to do, that doesn't sound right, Brian. Everyone expects you to sit around and update ownership for them at all times.
I had my last guy. I was perusing my my player pool, and the last guy I was going to remove was Hideki Matsuyama from my pool. And I wanted like a pretty diverse set. And if I removed him, it kind of screwed that up, like what I had, the settings I had. So I'm like, I'll just leave him.
Is it, man?
Before the show, he withdraws the back.
Isn't that one of the tougher things, too, about, like, portfolio stuff, right? And, you know, rerunning or even on, like, an NFL Sunday where stuff changes and you got things exactly where you want and then you get that late scratch and it's like, part of the reason I had that guy was for portfolio purposes for this other big stand. Now, does it make me not want that other stand as much because I can't play it on both sides of the portfolio?
Yeah. Like the more time you put in, like for hand builders, it must be even more frustrating because like you click that name, you know, you click that name multiple times.
You got married to it.
Right.
On a Saturday night, I'm falling asleep thinking about them in my lineup.
It didn't, like a sim didn't spit it out for you. So much more personal. The PGA, man, is just not doing so hot. Like going the NFL route of just doing dumb stuff. Like they have some issues going on with Rory and stuff. And this one is just it's because our world, you know, gambling, DFS, whatever, that makes it so frustrating. But like they have the worst injury. I don't know what news reporting, whatever you want to call that, you know, status reports that we get in every other sport. I mean, no one knew. I refuse to believe nobody knew that Hideki was going to withdraw. And they just don't care. They just keep doing it.
Is there an element to it where it's like with teams that there are specific beat reporters whose job it is to cover that individual team? Whereas, like, do we have a Hideki solo dedicated beat writer? Like, if there were, would that guy have probably been able to get to the bottom of this ahead of time? If there was one guy whose entire job was to cover Hideki.
I follow Hideki Tracker on Twitter. Does that count?
did they break the news for you?
I don't know who did, actually. I was just tilted, so I didn't even bother to give credit to anybody.
Yeah.
I think it's – I've said this before. I think I think it's like an old boys club thing. You know, like in this game we don't talk about the players' injuries. So even if the reporters know, they just keep their mouths shut, and that's how they continue to get access. I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm not there, but it's a really, you know, old school dude sport too. So I could see something like that. I don't get it though. I don't see how it like gives them a strategic disadvantage in any way by letting people know they're hurt. If anything, it would make them more of a fan favorite if they're out there playing hurt and they win. I don't get it. But he was 15% owned for people. If you don't know who Peter Overzet or Brian Hooper is and you're watching this, 15% owned is pretty high in PGA.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah. And just a tilting user experience. Is this going to bring out the classic thing of I want late swap in PGA? Did those people come out?
It's probably not a big enough event. It's a no cut event too. So you're just done.
Yeah. That's what, man. Well, yeah. And we've talked about this too, like, you know, the way where you at least, you have a contingency player, the way Underdog does it, where the next highest or guy who fits in salary wise slots in, just so you don't have that extreme tilt. It does seem like relatively easy fix.
I'm fine with a fix. I'm fine with a lot of the ideas of fixes, had some myself, but even just the reporting, I think the reporting is more fun. Like in the NFL, somebody's like, oh, he's questionable.
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to hurt his ownership. Maybe I'll roll the dice. And, you know, maybe my favorite content creator has some inside info and thinks he's going to play. Like that change, it's a fun dynamic. And then he doesn't play, that's on you, you know. But like, at least you know going and forward that even that would be fine with me. But they don't even do that.
That's what I mean by the beat reporters. I mean, I've seen stuff where, you know, people are running with, it's not even a post, a direct post from a beat reporter. It's a reply to someone like in the mentions that they said, like, oh, I'm leaning toward him playing or whatever, that people run with that. Like they're not even comfortable going on record. And I agree with you. That's part of the fun, is trying to decipher some of the code language there. But yeah, I think we solved it. We need a dedicated beat reporter for every golfer in the PGA Tour.
Right. Yeah. Or just make a rule and then stick to it and fine them if they don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, these sports are they're pretty, like in the NBA when they don't get the lineups out in time, they're supposed to get fined. I don't think they ever do fine them, but like make a rule and actually enforce it and the problem will go away. But that's probably never going to happen. So DraftKings, Justin's right. DraftKings or FanDuel should probably come up with one of the solutions that people have suggested over the years, but whatever.
Yeah. And then you get, I'm sure even, I mean, technically this wouldn't be an issue, but you could tell like there being a gray area, like what if someone comes into the week with like a slight back issue and then, you know, everyone's like, all right, I'm going to have my contingent lined up. Like that person plays one hole, throws out their back, you know, on the graded that comes out. Is everyone going to come out and say, I deserve to get, to swap that guy out as well? Does there have to be a certain amount of golf completed, you know, that kind of thing?
Probably. I'd be fine with that too. Like, I think that's like, you should be on their committee, Pete. Yeah.
I do not want to be.
Oh, they asked me to be on too. Remember I told them no, cause I couldn't talk about it on the show. And I'm like, well, then I'm not going to do it if I can't talk about it. But yeah, so like say like within 10 holes or something.
Yeah.
That seems fair. Whatever. Some arbitrary number. And then no, after that, you're screwed.
If Lulz ever abruptly ends, now people know that I ran off to join the DraftKings player committee and can no longer speak freely on the show.
How much would it take to get Peter Orsic to drop the content game to go work for DraftKings?
Go tell Underdog that I'm not even going to be doing like content, that I'm just going to be like around an oval table all day, just kind of batting around ideas, being the voice of the players. To get me out of my basement, it's an ungodly number that they would have to pay me. Like it almost doesn't exist. I don't think I would do that. did you catch any of the Tom Brady roast? I watched it over the past couple nights.
I didn't watch any live. I watched the Twitter stuff though. A bunch of the shortcuts. The two minute Hinchcliffe one was going around.
Yeah.
Nikki Glaser. My buddy's wife is obsessed with Nikki Glaser, and so I texted. I'm like, "Well, you're gonna have some Nikki Glaser content every night for the next 2 weeks."
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like the spectacle of everything. I was kind of shocked because I definitely fall on the side of like seeing the runtime at 3 hours. I'm like, "God, this is too long." Like, and I was pretty captivated. I watched it with Lauren on back to back nights, like hour and a half each night. And I was surprised how not bored I was getting, or being like, come on, speed this up. Because even like the train wrecks on a roast are kind of interesting in their own way. Like Ben Affleck just absolutely bombed. Gronk was like super cringeworthy. And it's like, that's entertaining to me in itself alongside the guys who are actually killing the professional comedian. So it's a fascinating thing of Tom Brady being able to kind of be at the Venn diagram of the zeitgeist of both pop culture and the sports world. Like it's hard to think of a figure outside of like true A-list celebrities that would pull in that much attention from like every possible angle.
Who else? Peyton Manning. He did one already.
But I think even Brady, like think about fodder. Like Tom Brady provides you with so much more fodder than Peyton Manning. It's like how many giant forehead jokes could we have listened to for three hours?
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Who else would fit that bill?
See, I thought about this too. LeBron, it's like LeBron's so boring. It's like we would get decision jokes and what else? You know, like
I could see him not wanting to do it too, like not being a good sport about it. Yeah. Tiger Woods. Kitchen,
Tiger's a yeah. good one. That one, as far as
there's a lot there,
the material would be limitless.
It would be almost too mean.
what did you think of like Tom Brady's motivation for doing it? Because that's the thing I keep coming back to, right? Of like, what does he stand to gain from this? Like, what if you could put yourself in his shoes, why would he agree to that?
I'm assuming almost all those are for charity, right? I don't know if this one was, but I'm pretty sure most of them are for charity. Brady's got enough money to give that money to charity himself, though, without taking the beating.
He doesn't have to subject himself to public humiliation to give to charity, for sure.
And the only one he cared about was the Robert Kraft joke.
Yeah. I heard that there were apparently like two things that were off limits. It was his kids. You know how you notice there were no, like one of the biggest memes in Tom Brady lore is him kissing his kid on the mouth. Like that would have been fodder that they would have gone after. No one touched that. And then the Robert Kraft thing, which is so funny. Like you think Tom Brady sat up there and like listened to jokes about his wife screwing the karate instructor all night, but you can't make fun of Robert Kraft getting a hand job at a massage parlor. Like that's where you're taking it too far. That was kind of crazy to me.
Did you see the Andrew Schulz clip from his show after?
No.
He said they told them specifically, everyone, no Kraft jokes. Cause he had a Kraft joke tagline that he took out.
Right. But doesn't that seem like such a weird thing? I mean, Tom Brady like made a joke about like Kanye West not being suitable to be a father, but you can't make like one of the most public stories available. Like that, doesn't that just go to show like a billionaire's pull? Like Robert Kraft basically being like, you can't make this joke, or Brady being so afraid of it, whatever.
Yeah. And weird, like a normal person would be like, oh, I'm not going to go to this roast because they're going to make fun of the time I went to the massage parlor and got caught. I just won't go. It's not like Tom Brady's wedding where you have to go. Like he didn't have to go. So he like not only did he have that much pull for being a billionaire and getting protected, like he could have chose to stay home, but no, I'm going to go and you can't say shit.
And like, to Kitchen's point here, like they're making jokes like about a player Bill Belichick coached that Tom Brady and Gronk.
He was like, a murderer.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I don't like, it's a roast to me. Everything's fair game, but yeah, it's just hilarious that we're able to make, you know, rings around Aaron Hernandez's neck, but we can't say Bob Kraft got a hand job. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yes. You're right. You're totally right. I'm just when people defend some like the worst people on the planet, when someone makes fun of them, it's like, well, I think it's okay to go there after they've, you know, murdered multiple people.
I don't know if any clip surfaced of it, but of the Dana White's bit. Did you see that?
Yes. I can't remember it though, but I did see it.
It was like, it was a funny thing because
Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, he made like a trans joke and like, it was all like the thing that like doesn't work is he was like super aggro, like in his only point of view was like, you guys are all liberal cucks, like liberal woke cucks, and like I'm gonna like, you know, jam it down your throat kind of thing. But there were no like actual jokes, and it was funny how they set it up because they used Tony Hinchcliffe's like bit doing his Kill Tony podcast thing to like give Dana White 1 minute. Like, he clearly wanted to do stuff, but they're like, stay off the dais, we'll give you like 1 minute to try this at your seat. And like, unlike Kraft's bit, which I thought worked pretty well, I don't know if that floated online, Dana White didn't do too well.
I missed the Dana White one. The Dana White and some of Hinchcliffe's jokes specifically, I thought like, this is not, now this is kind of the, you know, side related, that like Netflix is definitely changing their policies to allow this stuff. I think that's really a blatant jump the shark moment, like, because they kind of had some with Shane Gillis's. I don't know if you saw his stand-up on there.
Yeah.
You know, where that's kind of like, oh, maybe they're allowing people say whatever they want again. And then this one kind of really signals that, like, I don't know, like kind of like the whole, you know, 2017 to 2023, whatever woke era is kind of on the decline.
Right. And I mean, it is a huge shift. Like, almost every single roast that we grew up watching, like on Comedy Central, those were all edited. They're pre-recorded. They are 3-hour events that are distilled down to a 60 or 90 minute thing. Like, they're literally getting rid of half the stuff. I mean, nothing was unedited out there, to the point where like, I kind of appreciated it, just like being able to see the seams of the show. Like, you see Kevin Hart like trying to find his footing, setting up jokes. He's reacting to stuff. Like, so much of the Kevin Hart rambling, which again, you probably didn't see in the clips, like that all gets cut out if they distill that down to a 60 minute, 90 minute special. But it was just raw, uncut, all right there, which made it very entertaining.
I saw the one rambling where he tried to come back to the all hell Nas joke and he couldn't come up with anything and he just gave credit. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Maybe I should actually watch the whole thing. I mean, those were all classics. Back in the day.
I mean, like, the one of my favorites was always the Bob Saget roast. Like, Norm Macdonald had this just incredible roast there. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. I think, like, going back to the Brady thing, like, what I came up with in my head is, like, you know, Tom Brady, you know, famously did not want to let go of football, kept delaying his retirement. Like, that's all he knows how to do. And my thesis is, he is like now so desperate and so starved for attention, for stimulus, that he was even willing to be a masochist just to like feel something. He's like, this will command everyone's attention. I will be center attention, and I'm willing to take a beating just to feel that heat like I used to playing football.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, is there a chance he just has a really good sense of humor and likes hanging out with a lot of those people? What's like the most charitable interpretation? I get what you're saying. I don't know. I think also he kind of looks like he's starting to look more and more like handsome Squidworth, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, there, I was glad that they got a few, you know, plastic surgery jokes in there too, at the end on top.
Did they?
Yeah. Kitchen bringing up another thing, like Edelman had like some good jokes, but he did the thing where he explains the joke after every single joke. And I think you can get away with it once where it's like, all right, I just say the quiet part out loud. But he did it after every punchline, explained the joke. And it was like, Julian, you gotta let the joke, you gotta trust it, man. You don't need to explain it.
I mean, those guys, they probably wrote all those jokes for him still, right? I mean, that's how it works.
I was listening to some stuff, and like, apparently Drew Bledsoe like was workshopping the jokes with his family, but like Belichick's jokes written for him, Robert Kraft's jokes, you know, they said like he did it all. And it's like, no, they at least had a writer sitting in a room with them spitballing. Yeah. Because Robert Kraft would be like, I want to make fun of this thing about Bill. And they're like, okay, let's think of some joke premises that we can workshop this idea into. Like, these guys aren't crafting jokes.
Right. I mean, that's what Jeff Ross says, is all those deus, like the professional comics on the deus, part of the gig is writing jokes for the celebrities.
Yeah.
So I doubt that's changed. I mean, famously, you remember back in the day, who's the Jersey Shore idiot?
Paulie D or
one of those idiots went on
The Situation. Yeah,
refused to take their jokes from the professionals, and he just tanked so bad. That's worth a 2-minute Twitter clip if anyone wants to search that one out.
I think, you know, sometimes, you know, because like the comics are comics, like Nikki Glaser, Hinchcliffe, like those guys were awesome. Sam J, like they know what they're doing. They know how to perform. They know how to deliver jokes. Normally, I think you would find some of the non-performers to be like, let's move this along. Like, that's how you feel during the Aflac set because it was so bad. But because of like the interpersonal dynamics between Brady and Belichick, between Belichick and Kraft, there was this like added fascination to it. And then I don't know if this made it online, but Kevin Hart was like making Brady and Belichick do a shot, making Belichick and Kraft do a shot. And like Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, I don't care how they looked at each other that night. They hate each other. They do not like each other. And so the fact that they were like getting these guys on stage and having to interact with each other, I thought was just like a fascinating subplot.
What was the best joke again on Belichick? Did anyone have a good one that you remember?
I mean, there was a lot of the jokes about Belichick had to do with him not being able to get a job. And apparently he had this quote that he used to always say to the players, like, I can find someone down the road at Foxborough High who could do better than that. And they like made a joke about him not even being able to get a job coaching at Foxborough High that I thought was pretty good. there was a few guys I would have missed in there. Like Anthony Jeselnik would have been a fun one to go hard there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, my favorite always was Greg Giraldo, but he's dead. He was great on those.
The only other, I mean, there's a few things, but the only other thing I'll mention is the Gronk set. Did you see a clip of that?
No, I just saw him do a shot and spike it.
So first of all, like every single Gronk joke was the same. And it was, you're just so stupid. And people made those jokes all night. Everyone, there was literally probably like 50 plus jokes of just how stupid Gronk was, which I enjoyed it every time. But his set, like the best way that I could describe it was if there was like an empty gymnasium and like a middle school boy, a really immature middle school boy, saw a microphone standing up there. And he's like looking around. He's like, no one's here. He's like, I'm just going to go say whatever comes to my mind in this minute. Like, fuck shit balls. Like, just like that. That's what Gronk set was. Like, it was so absurd. And he's trying to read the teleprompter. And he's just trying to make sex jokes and gay jokes. Like, the whole thing. And it was so cringy. And yet it's Gronk. And so you just kind of shrug your shoulders. It was honestly something.
If he would have said just fuck shit balls, that would have probably been pretty funny.
It probably would have. I do legitimately recommend it. I'm shocked that they did that 3 hours unedited. I mean, pretty impressive by Netflix to just say let's do it live.
Yeah, good for them. I like the direction, obviously, especially for comedy. Come on, like you gotta let them go.
I know. Yeah, and some people find Kevin Hart annoying, but I think a guy like him, like he does a good job of keeping the energy up, tying the bits together. Like if you had even one of the really good dry comedians hosting that entire thing, it wouldn't have the energy. It wouldn't have the pop. Like Kevin Hart was able to like either punctuate a mood or kind of move it along. And like, if there was something that like didn't hit. So I actually thought Kevin Hart did a really good job.
Is Kitchen Right? Did they edit those boos out? Because I saw the boos on Twitter, so I don't know if they edited.
Yeah, I didn't see those. Maybe they do that in post or something.
They must have, because it was on Twitter. You could see it. I thought that was rude. Like, even though I don't know a lot about Kim Kardashian, but like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a little overboard with the boos.
I do too, because I feel like if you're like when you're showing up in that arena, you're. That like takes balls and you're saying, I'm allowing myself to get made fun of, you know, like, and the jokes are going to do the work. Just like outright booing someone just feels lame.
Yeah. Before she even tells a joke, like let her tell a joke, then boo her.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. It's really hard. Like I said, I mean, even a Tiger Woods roast, which from a material standpoint would be fascinating. It's just impossible to think of like, I mean, even Tiger Woods, how many different other golfers would he have all this interplay with that like Tom Brady did, you know, with Peyton Manning? You get the Eli Manning callback jokes. You get all the references with Drew Bledsoe. It's like his life was so intertwined with so many interesting subplots that there was so much material to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good one. And it's lighthearted enough. I think Tiger would be lighthearted enough. I guess he almost died in an accident, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that would be too hard, man. He's got to do it. I think Kitchen's Right. That one would be perfect.
The different, like, I mean, I do give Brady credit. Like you could tell he was cringing at various things, but was like a very good sport and was like, it's like, does Tiger Woods even, isn't Tiger Woods humorless? Like would he even be able to sit up there and smile throughout all those jokes? I don't know.
Yeah. It might not work. I thought Nerdy says Kevin Hart's talented, super energetic, and frankly a bit exhausting. Do you know he was like a Philly comic, I think, with Big Jay Oakerson when he first started. And so Jay Oakerson's got a whole bunch of stories about him when they were younger. That's pretty, because he blew up pretty fast, Kevin Hart. So he kind of left a lot of the comics, you know, popularity wise in the dust. And so it's like weird. Your friend becomes, you know, like The Rock popular wise, right? Doing movies with The Rock.
Yeah.
It's gotta be so strange. You're like, you know, cause they would like, you know, pick up girls after a show and bring them back to their room, you know? And like, and you know, it's just like, that was like 6 months ago. So yeah, it's like, I feel like he's that's kind of like his stick now, though, is this super energetic and a bit exotic instead of, you know, a stand up.
Well, and I like the jokes, too. It's like Kevin Hart, you know, to put it another way, would show up to the opening of an envelope. Like this guy says no to nothing. And it's funny because like, didn't he do was it Poker Stars or was it he did something with poker. Was it Poker Go?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. That was a while ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, because he would show up at a couple of the high rollers. I think it was Poker Go, but then he's doing DraftKings ad. Like, you're making big-ass movies with The Rock and then also just being like, yeah, I'll do poker stuff. I'll do DFS. Like,
he's not turning down a penny.
Rich.
He's not turning down a goddamn penny, Pete.
When are we going to do
I thought about that.
DFS roast? Yeah.
I like the idea as long as I don't get made fun of. I'm fine with making fun of other people.
Oh man. It is the thing. You got to have some thick skin up there for sure.
How about this roast the siege?
That would be fun. And the reason it does work is the dais gets roasted too, right? Like it's not in that case, like there would be, you know, Draft Cheat would be on there, right? But then Draft Cheat would get the jokes thrown back at him as well. Like that's what would make it work. But Siege being kind of the centerpiece of it, I think would really help facilitate all of the other pieces. I like that.
Yeah. The problem is we lack, you know, a room full of professional comedians. That's the only problem, though.
I've been honing my craft. I basically write monologue jokes every week for the Swolecast and in Overzet's overview. So I will happily MC that event.
You'd be busy. They'd be busy for you.
And then I will charge other people to write their jokes for them. And I can make a little boutique industry out of this. All right. Let's see. You got an announcement, man. This I want to let you set this up, but this stuff has come together fairly quickly. Why don't you let people know what you've been up to, and then I'll share the screen here in a sec.
I am starting a site with some of the people in our chat right here. We don't really have any marketing yet, but it's basically going to be kind of like a card runner style. For people who don't know, those were like old poker training videos. I don't think Card Runners is around anymore. With some DFS bros. And we're probably going to offer some more stuff too. Like we're working on it. We'll have a Discord. There'll be some like lineup reviews and stuff like that. And we're calling it. It's tough writing. It's tough like coming up with names, and no one wants to suggest anything, you know. So with Endgame Syndicate, and it's Yuta, Nerdy, me, and Adam so far.
Love it. I do like the name, and I definitely sympathize with names. We've talked about names on the show before. I mean, Stochastic was one that I remember was very puzzling for people at the start. And I think I mentioned it a little while back. I love that name now. Like, it has really grown on me. Like, once it enters the zeitgeist, Endgame Syndicate, I liked right away. I love the word Endgame. And then Syndicate is just like over the top enough that it's kind of winking that you guys aren't actually like a mob syndicate or something. But I like the name. I think Endgame Syndicate is cool.
Good, good. And there was a few names that were taken. The URL was taken already. So,
yeah.
So, you don't have a choice with that. And then the Twitter handle too, you can't, it's like one letter too many. Endgame Syndicate. That was
really
lame. Yeah.
Come on, Elon.
I know. Yeah. He expands everything else.
yeah, exactly.
And we might have one more bro join us, but, he's not sure yet. He's got some, stuff in his life. He's got to figure out, see what direction he's going to go in. But right now, this is the group.
Awesome.
Pretty good group.
Very good group. I got it pulled up here. I'll put the link in the show notes. InGameSyndicate.com says your ultimate destination for fantasy sports mastery. And what kind of stuff, as I scroll down here, we see some bullet points. Because you guys aren't going to necessarily be the typical content site that people are used to when it comes to DFS offerings, right?
Yeah. So like for example, like Nerdy's going to do like a whole series on game theory and like make toy games, toy best ball games, and how to beat smaller versions of best ball and how to apply those concepts to, you know, the larger game. Like I'll do like how to make, we're still figuring out like specifically what videos we're going to do. And we'll probably have like people vote on what they want, you know, like what video do you want next? But like, I'm going to do like how to create your own ownership, you know, using like, regressions and R, some like, you know, simple or might be advanced for some people's,
creating the monster statistics that you have long tried to not create.
Yes. But at least it's all behind a fucking paywall.
That's right.
And, you know, Nerdy Tenor was voluntarily ruining DFS on his own, so the least we could do is force him behind a paywall where he can more slowly ruin DFS.
So for people, I mean, people have seen Nerdy on shows. They obviously are familiar with Ship My Money. They're very familiar with you. I would say by far the most mysterious of this grouping is Utical. You know, famously only made a couple podcast appearances in the last couple years, once on ETR, once here. Has not shared a ton. What is Yuta going to be bringing to the table? Because I'm just curious, like, is that going to be behind the scenes? Is he going to do video? Like, what kind of stuff do you envision him doing?
Yeah, so he's going to be like on the Discord answering questions and doing some videos. He'll do like occasionally he'll do like a live video, you know, with Adam, but not very frequently. Adam's going to do like all the content. Mm-hmm. He started a YouTube channel too to kind of get us started. But he's going to do like no ball videos, you know, like he'll like review lineups, you know, like if I'm like a member has like single entry or high stakes or whatever, 150, you know, 150 set, he could review those. But like then it would be like public, you know, like so it wouldn't be private. So like you'd have to be okay with your lineups being reviewed publicly, but just so like everyone can benefit, review his own lineups, maybe some post slate analysis, like why he did what he did. Yeah. And then, you know, more strategy videos, like more specific strategy videos. Like, we're still like kind of, it's a lot harder with him than with me and Nerdy, like on how to create content.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like general strategy videos or like specific strategy videos, like some more things, like more narrow topics of things he does. And, you know, I've talked with him a bunch off, you know, online, off of air. And he's always like dropping, you know, like no ball stuff to me.
Yeah.
In text. And it's like, there's no reason he can't do like a little 10-minute video on this.
You know? Yeah.
This little strategy piece. But, you know, that is what he does. He doesn't do any, you know, and also he could do like optimizer reviews or something like that. Or,
yeah.
You know, what he thinks about Sims. What do you think, you know, any of that stuff. But just all privately. And then we're probably going to do NFL projections, which would be his.
Love
so we're not 100% sure on that one, though. And then the other thing we're also looking at is more like developing some more tools, like best ball tools, game theory tools, maybe like a portfolio manager.
That'd be cool.
Stuff like that. Cool.
Shady asking the pertinent question because no one would want to make sure. Like, I mean, I will say I want you guys to succeed, but a brick versus nerdy big T esque fallout with hoop, like that could do big numbers. You know, if then I had to cover you and nerdy's big fallout. And give each of you guys your own show on here to tell your side of the story. I'm not wishing that upon you, but if it were to happen, it would do numbers.
And no, we haven't, but we will. We don't have anything going yet anyways. So there's nothing to sign for, but yeah, that would be hilarious, wouldn't it? Like you'd have to leave me off an episode to get the other side.
Yeah. This is a good question from Mookie for people who are subscribed to Brick 75 with the caddy. Is that going to be included or separate?
Right now it's separate. I'm not sure if the guys want it on there or if we're going to develop something different. We'll see. But right now it's more like instructional,
educational.
Yeah. Videos and like review and access for, you know, the part of the idea too is like we've gotten, all of us have kind of gotten a lot of DMs on like, will you give private lessons and, you know, tips and stuff like that. And so, you know, this is a spot you could do all that.
Nice. And when do you guys envision having a working product or where you will exchange information and education for money? When will that be happening?
Hopefully in a month.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to motivate these guys, Pete. You're hired as our motivational expert to motivate people on how to get the content done.
Yeah. I'm sure I can come in and motivate you to, who's worth a few zeros, I'm sure, about why he needs to get in the lab and crank out some content. Yuta, just look at me. I get about 7 different videos out a week. Just do what I do, man, and you'll sorry, Peter, I don't need to work that hard right now. So that's your issue, Brian. That's your issue.
That's true. It is. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting stuff, man. I'm stoked for you guys. This is like a who's who, a heavy hitters here, and all of you from like a DFS. I mean, you've been doing this show for a few years, but you guys are all like fairly underexposed, have kept a lot of stuff close to the vest. So I feel like there's a lot of high value information and education people are going to get access to that they haven't had access to.
Yeah, I think we also kind of check a lot of different boxes too, where, you know, I'm more like stats and analytics and sims, nerdy's game theory, Yuta's no ball. Adam's kind of in between. And we're not done yet too. So there might be a couple guys who might join us.
Yeah. We'll see. Like Vegas Dave.
Well, I do want to get some someone from the sports betting industry. Unfortunately, Vegas Dave blocked me, so it's not going to be him.
I feel like maybe you mend whatever bridges have been burned with Captain Jack, and you get him as part of the squad.
He's already got his own site.
That's true.
Maybe if they fall apart, that's a double bonus. We get a show out of it, and then invite him to come work for the website.
So how give the people a little pull behind the curtain. Like, how did this come together? Whose idea was it? How long has this been in the works?
It's been in the works not very long. Adam DM'd me. Then he's like, I'm talking to a couple groups of guys. Do you have any interest at all? And I'm like, I'll talk to anyone. I've talked to everyone over the years. Nothing ever comes of it, but I'll talk to whoever you want. We talked to our guys, Justin Freeman and Eric Beinfor. They have business ideas too, like other than DFS, that is actually pretty interesting stuff. So like we talked to them and then talked to another group and then, just like totally randomly, you know, through this, let me ask around and see who else would want to do it. And actually most of the idea was Nerdy's. I talked to Nerdy, cause he's been wanting to do a game theory series, cause he builds like these little toy games too. And then you could do like a game theory series explaining how it all works off of that. He's been wanting to do it anyways.
And for people who don't necessarily know what like a toy game would be, like the way I understood it was when I was doing chess puzzles and like mastering a specific skill by doing puzzles as opposed to trying to understand everything writ large.
Yeah, like a smaller piece of the larger game. So like in the mathematics of poker, they do a bunch of toy games in there. You know, like one if I remember correctly, I've read that book so friggin' long ago, but it was like, you know, like we're playing against each other. We each get one card. Cause that makes it simpler and you can either call or fold. I think that's what it was. And so it's like, what card do you want to stop calling with? And then the other guy, what card does he want to stop betting with? And so like, you know, like I can't remember what it was. But the calling was, you know, like 7 or 8 or higher. And the betting was something like even more than that. But then there's an equilibrium point to where you should go for that, and you know what frequencies you should be doing, and then from that you could be like, oh well, I need to get frequencies of all these other spots in poker, and he has a lot of experience in that actually, because he used to build those solvers for all the pros back in the day. When that first started getting popular.
Yeah, I think it sounds awesome. I would love to play around with that stuff. I think what's interesting for you guys from like a business perspective is you aren't necessarily seeking to replace you know, say let's a high volume DFS player who currently goes somewhere else to get slate by slate breakdowns, projections, ownership projections, maybe even tools. Do you guys view this as something that the hardcore DFS player buys in addition to those things, or is your goal to be a one-stop shop eventually?
The problem, the goal is to just get this specific version of it going and then see what happens.
Yeah.
So the problem with going further is obvious, and you know this, is then you have to start hiring a bunch of people to help you, especially if you're doing daily content. Like if you're doing like do NBA projections is just so much work. Not only just getting your projections database up to date every day, but like they're guys getting ruled out constantly throughout the day. So you're working, you know, in the morning, you got to get them up. Then you got to update them at some point. And then from whatever 4 until 9 PM, you are sitting at your desk updating this and you got a whole bunch of people bitching at you. Like, you know, RBX 88, you know, calling you butt buddies because you didn't update your NBA projections, you know, 2 seconds after somebody got ruled out. So like, we don't want to deal with that. But for some sports, it's not like that. PGA, you know, NFL is pretty close. Best ball. Maybe MMA. So for the sports that we would go further are probably going to be those sports. And then tools. So we have tools, right? Like the problem is scaling them.
Yeah.
And making sure they don't break for whatever, potentially, you know, 500, whatever, 1,000 people, who knows. So that is why we're not like – specifically announcing like this cool new thing.
Yeah.
Not doing that yet. The obvious question too, is besides projection stuff, is like a sim or sim equivalent type of product. Okay. There it is. Right. So Neil, logically, that's the next question. So that's probably last on the list, honestly, because that is
the end game to the end game.
Yeah, I guess technically we're in the mid game.
We're in the first inning of the ninth inning.
First inning, yeah. Another reason why I wanted to do this is honestly this show. I got sick. This is going to be a humble brag for the two of us, but like, I don't know. I got sick of like, you know, everything we would talk about would become like the new thing in the industry. And then sites would, you know, make stuff or, you know, even sports betting stuff that like we were talking about, or even just people who weren't even like the big names would make spreadsheets on stuff that we would talk about on the show. And it's like, well, why don't we fucking make those? So like, right. If we, you know, come up with a whole bunch of series of instructional videos and what, you know, so forth, I do really want to also have a product with that instead of people watching our product and then commercializing it, you know?
Yeah.
So that is something I'm worried about. But just like projections, you want to run your own, you know, your own sim or opto or maybe even something a little more advanced, which is probably what we would do. That shit breaks all the time.
Yeah.
You have to pay someone a lot of money, and hiring someone like that is very tough and usually never works out.
I think the other interesting thing about kind of what it sounds like you guys are doing, but when you do get into, like you were kind of saying, with like the daily projections and updates, like there's a difference between like backloading all the work, right? Like developing a toy game that takes a lot of development, lots of coding, getting it all right. Whatever, but then like the work is theoretically done and people can play that game over and over again in an evergreen way versus say daily projections. That's more of like the full-time job. It requires your time. It seems like if you had those two things on a scale, you guys want the scales to be more heavily tipped to you put in the work for these things and then they kind of are there for people to enjoy without a ton of maintenance.
That would be a perfect situation. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, my personal pet peeve from doing this show would be we put in the work and then somebody else makes a product based on, you know, one of our ideas. And right. It's like, fuck, you know, maybe we should just put in the extra effort. It'll be fun, actually, on the show. We'll talk. I mean, I'm going to talk openly about what we're doing. But yeah, that you're right. Evergreen. The idea is like, so a year and a half, someone could sub and go back to the first video we make. And it's like, this is useful.
Yes.
This is still useful. Hey.
Trust me, like that's my whole thesis with what I'm doing over on my Deposit Kingdom videos this year, which by the way, I have a new video dropping tomorrow morning. It's an update, Brian, to the week 17, Is It All That Matters thesis with a slightly new payout structure this year, potentially impacting that thesis. But my point is like, instead of just always making live content that kind of dies on the vine, so to speak, spending more time working on content that, hey, you can watch this next year. You could watch that in 2 years and get a ton of potential long tail from that kind of content, which is definitely the lane you want to be in. Otherwise, you are just in the constant churn of the hamster wheel.
Yep. Yeah. And the format is, what do you think of this format? This is Nerdy's idea again. Is so like, let's say he does a game theory video, that'll be pre-recorded evergreen content, and then there'll be a live Q&A. Afterwards with you know, everybody or whoever wants to watch it, because you know the concepts could be pretty complicated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they didn't really ever do that in the poker videos, at least the ones I remember. They just you know, they'd record themselves playing poker and drink a beer and then that's it, and they would turn it off. So eventually they got more complicated, but this would be less that and more like specific ideas or how to do something, and then a Q&A session, and then a monthly roundtable with everybody.
I think that sounds cool. And my guess is how like a good way to probably almost like beta test or get the best content to support the toy game would be like you have the first users and then they're all asking questions like, wait, what am I supposed to do now? Oh, this isn't working. Or wait, what is this accomplishing? Or why is this important? And then you basically, from those initial questions, develop an FAQ that you can drop below. Like you might be wondering when you get to this stage, why this happens. Here's the reason the math is showing this, or like all those questions you routinely get. And then it's like, you use that to have it stand alone even more. So that hypothetically, when it's the 100th or 1,000th person checking it out, like all of those questions have already been addressed.
Yeah, exactly. And then if like, as a last course, you can, you're right over there. There's a Discord. We're gonna have a private Discord. Just have to figure out how to link that up.
I think the other thing that's gonna be interesting is, you know, people are gonna be excited about the tools. Like I'm excited about the tools. That sounds very fun, but I still think the thing that is going to get people through the door is access to these people that they have previously not had any access to. Like I said, people have like 2 hours of content from Yuta, you know, in the past, however long. They are going to be very excited about that and making sure, I think if you could kind of deliver on those two planes, like here's your access to Yuta. And it sounds like that's what you're doing in the Discord, asking questions. And then on top of it, having this really robust set of evergreen tools, like that seems like a nice way to kind of have your cake and eat it too, because people are going to want that access.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, he's going to do some videos too. I think,
yeah,
because you know, when Petty used to do his Twitch, he would like live review people's lineups. People love that shit, you know, to have one of the best players ever go over what you did, you know, and just grill you, like you know, that would have been a good like for your old show on RotoGrinders. Your bankroll recap show.
Yeah.
And then you, at the end, you get like 15 minutes where Yuta comes in and goes like, this is awful. You know? Yeah. that would be good content, but like also if it was private, like that would be super helpful.
Yeah.
But like, you can't do that. There'd be too many people. So like,
yes,
you just review one and then hopefully, and then, you know, somebody else the next week or something like that. And then, you know, you could still gain insight from somebody else's mistakes.
And the other thing too is like, it doesn't even necessarily have to become like future stuff. Like I would watch the hell out of Yuta doing a lineup review of his team that won the Millie Maker last year, that was that Bucks Houston, and he ripped in an onslaught. Most people would not think about having five guys from the same game in that large of a contest. I would love to hear him walk through what put him on this. Why did he do this? Like, that is content people would want.
Exactly. I said the same thing. He doesn't think people would want to see that. I'm like, he's wrong. Tons of people. Yeah, exactly. So not just other people's lineups, but his. So like if he wins next week or something, we're not live, but let's just assume we were. It's like, to review your lineup, dude. Like, people would love to hear your rationale for doing X.
People want to hear my rationale, and I'm not even good at DFS. You don't think they want to hear Yuta's?
Yeah, exactly.
A couple other things before we get out of here that I wanted to just quickly pull up. First of all, this was big news. I didn't even know this was coming, but after it sounded like it quite the ordeal getting in there, but Underdog's now live for draft games in Michigan. I had heard lots of stories about people having to drive across the border, not being able to draft. So that's pretty exciting news for all of our Michigan-based Underdog drafters.
I didn't even know that state was missing.
Yeah, it was a big one.
How many states are left?
That's a really good question.
Probably Utah.
No, you can draft in Utah.
Really?
You can. There's some random ones. Like, you can draft in Alaska. But yeah, so people in the chat will remind me which ones they're not in. But you can definitely draft in those. Also, Brian, someone had sent me this. I have not watched it yet, so I'm going to watch it live on the air. But someone said, did you hear about the diss track that Blender had ChatGPT write, I believe, going against Osimo? So I figure this feels like some Lulz content we could watch here live on the air. All right, here we go.
Nope, no audio.
You not have the audio?
I didn't hear anything.
Hang on, maybe it has to be sharing the Chrome tab. Yeah, I have to get it. All right, tell me now if you hear it.
Oh, yeah, Gretch can't draft, right?
Down.
Yeah, Washington. Gets tough.
Here we go. Listen up, gather around, let me spin a tale about a fantasy player whose ego was set to sail. He's all about the stats, thinks he's got the game down, but when the going gets tough, he's nowhere to be found. Started with the lineup, he thought he'd rude Lacine, but his picks were so weak, couldn't even make a dream. He's like a one-trick pony, always chasing the trend. But when it comes to strategy, he's got no dividend. Hey, Mr. Fantasy, what's with the empty boast? You talk a big game, but your lineup's just a ghost. You're a pretender in a game of kings. Better step aside, because we're taking the ring. He talks a big talk like he's got it all planned, but his lineup's a disaster. Couldn't even take a stand. Spending all his cash on the flashy big names, but when it comes to winning, he's just playing games. Yo, listen up.
All right. You know, Petty was in the chat earlier asking where the drama and the scandal is. We now have a rap beef. I fully expect Osimo to fire back at Blender with a diss track.
Yeah, and please don't use AI to do the voice. You have to do it yourself.
You have to do it yourself. Speaking of which, weren't we supposed to we're supposed to connect with Osimo? Osimo said he was down to come on.
Oh yeah, I guess he doesn't want. He hates us now.
No. We do all of our booking live on the show. We asked Osimo last week if he'd be interested in coming on. Osimo, do you want to come on the show next week, Thursday at 1 p.m.?
Drop that diss track before the show.
Yes. Exactly.
And then come on.
Vadim says he's grinning at his own lines as he says them. Those were ChatGPT's lines. So I think you're allowed to grin at our AI overlords who now make our content for us.
Yes. You better grin at them.
Yes. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they're coming for you. Mm-hmm. Anything else for you, Brian? Here, pretty big announcement.
No. Yeah. So I'll be working on that for the next couple weeks. Hopefully, we're up and running. There was at that website. There is like a sign up. You could sign up to.
Yes.
Get alerted.
I meant to scroll down to that. Yes, I already gave my email here. You can see it right there. You just drop in your email. Brian will start sending you all kinds of spam. You know, just asking about all your preferences, sending you weird links to fish gloves that he found on Amazon, all that good stuff.
Probably some private pictures.
Brian, did you think about going, I mean, In-Game Syndicate is cool. Did you consider maybe Hot Naked Girls Doing Yoga as the name?
We'd probably get a lot of traffic.
You would.
Yeah, but a lot of disappointment.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it's a real push pull. You know, do you under promise and over deliver, or do you get people in the door with promises of Hot Naked Girls Doing Yoga? It's a real catch 22.
I mean, just get in that industry, I guess. Kanye is.
Yes, Sean Jeezy showing up late. The link is here. It will also be in the show notes. It is endgamesyndicate.com. I trust we will hear plenty more about it from Brian on subsequent lulls is as they get their ducks in a row, their houses in order, all of that good stuff. So congratulations to Brian and the team. Thank you guys for watching lulls today. We actually have a programming shift on Ship Chasing. We're flexing to Thursday afternoons for the next few months. You know, dad life is now catching up with all of us. So we're trying to free up our evening. So Ship Chasing will be at 3 p.m. Eastern today and Thursdays for the next couple months if you want to come hang out with us over there. And like I said, new video dropping tomorrow. Spent a lot of time on it. Really excited to get that out there. The week 17 versus 16 debate that maybe some of you in the niche best ball community have seen pop up on Twitter. Excited to give my thoughts on that over on the Deposit Kingdom YouTube channel. Otherwise, make sure you guys are also subscribed to the audio feed. You can get audio versions of this episode and all lulls episodes every week shortly after we are done recording. Go ahead.
Before you go, yeah, I think we gotta have Alex on next. I think it's our 300th episode.
Is it really?
I think so. Let me just check this real quick. If Alex won't do it, we gotta bring somebody on.
Yeah, because I have it labeled by thumbnails, but
I'm wrong. It's next week will be 292. So we still got
time. That's what I have it at. Yeah, I have it at 292. We will have to think of something for the 300th.
Yeah, this is 291.
A roast.
We got time. Yeah. A roast, DFS time. Roast.
All right. I'm Pete. This is Brian. We'll see you guys next time on Lulz.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.